to that song, you all, is it Keep Silent, Behold Him? Keep silent before Him. Keep silent before Him. I had the keep silent part before Him. There is a faith community of Christians. I can't remember if it's the Shakers or the Quakers. But when they would have worship service, they would come in and they wouldn't speak. They would keep silent. And the only time they would speak is if they got a word from the Lord. And so they may sit there for hours and not say a word. They learn how to be quiet because sometimes we talk too much. And in our talking, we miss what God's trying to say. They learn how to listen to God and then line their lives up to God instead of telling God what you need and what you want, because they believe that God already knows what we need. And they practice silence before the Lord. Amen. Something we may need to try sometimes is just learning how to be quiet. Sometimes we could talk too much. When there's nothing we can say anyway, we just need the Lord to work it out on our behalf. We can't fix it. We can't say it. In fact, if we start talking, we're going to make it worse. Sometimes we just give it to the Lord and let the Lord work it all out. We thank God for this choir, the women's choir, isn't it? Amen. Amen. The women's choir coming together and blessing us in our worship today. We thank God for you showing up, for you being here. I know for some of us, it was a feat to even get here. When you opened up your eyes, hell broke loose and tried to hold you from coming, but you made it anyway. You wouldn't deter, wouldn't neglect, wouldn't be turned away. You just stay focused to get into the place, not just because we here, but because you believe the Lord would meet you here. Good having you. And we say thank you to God for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It may not feel good right now, but when the Lord gets done working out whatever the Lord's going to work out, He'll turn your test into a testimony, give you a reason to shout in praise. We thank Him for all things because we recognize God is always in control. Amen. Even when we're not in control. When you ain't in control of yourself, God still got control. Amen. I want to share with you today out of the Gospel of Luke, looking at the miracles of Jesus. The Gospel of Luke chapter 5, I want to look at verses 1 through 11. For the last few weeks, looking at the miracles of Jesus, and I want to continue with that. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Out of the English Standard Version, it reads like this. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats on the lake, by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little further from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, From now on, you'll be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Amen. Thank God. I want to preach from the thought today, walking by faith. Walking by faith. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And since we walk by faith, then faith is a journey. With each step, we're challenged more and more in our faith. And as we meet those challenges, our faith will begin to grow. It grows because we learn more about who we are, and we learn more about what God will and won't do. We learn that God can do the impossible, and we learn that God can be trusted. That's why faith is a matter of trust, and real trust only comes from experience and interaction. We see in this text that Jesus performs another sign of wonder, but if we only look to the climax of the story, we'll miss how Simon's faith grew step by step. Too often we want the sensational to happen in our lives, but we fail to see how God shows up in our lives every day and how we must respond to God in faith. The miraculous happens because of your daily prayers. It happens because of your devotion to God. It happens when you forgive, and it happens when you show some grace and mercy. The miraculous happens every day. We say yes to God. That's why today I want to preach about walking by faith. In the text, Jesus is by the Sea of Galilee, and as he's teaching the people, they began to press on him to the point that he's on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. The Bible doesn't say what brought Jesus there or what subject he was teaching on, but whatever it was so captivating, so engaging, so relevant, that the more he taught, the more the people came to listen. That's because Jesus was saying something worth listening to. He wasn't just talking to hear himself talk, but he engaged the scripture in such a way that it addressed the issues of his time. He answered the questions of his day. And I have to point out here that Jesus is teaching and proclaiming, but he's not in the synagogue, but he's in the public square. And it was in the public square where he began to speak and drew a crowd that was captivated by what he had to say. The word of God, when it speaks to your issue, will grip you and cause you to draw close to him. But I don't think that was just a subject. I don't think it was just a subject that Jesus was teaching on that caused the people to multiply around him. But it was also his delivery that drew them in. He spoke in such a way that even how he spoke caused the people to want to know more. What Jesus said was of utmost importance, and the way he said it reflected that. Amen, somebody. Because how you say something is just as important as what you say. Sometimes we get so impassioned by telling the truth that we don't consider how we communicate that truth and how it will affect the people that we want to receive that truth. We learn early in life when we're told by our parents, you better fix your face. You better watch your tone. You learn real quick that it's not just what comes out of your mouth that can get you in trouble, but it's also the attitude behind which you speak your truth. You better fix your face. You better watch your tone. And you learn that at the earliest parts of life, but sometimes when we get older, we forget that how you say something is just as important as what comes out of your mouth. I was taught that you can go to somebody with the wrong thing the right way, and they just may listen to y'all. You can go to somebody with the right thing the wrong way and find yourself on the ground. It's the way that you say it that may turn somebody off or turn somebody on. You know how they do it in the movies, don't you? When they
starting to have a romantic scene. They like to set the tone, and they'll dim the lights and turn on some soft music. It's not just what you say that matters, but it's how it comes across that matters as well. Jesus not only knew his subject, but he also knew the audience he was talking to. That's good news today, because just like then, Jesus knows how to communicate to us because he knows what we're going through. He knows how to address the issues of our lives, and he knows, and God knows, we got some issues. Jesus has the answer. But if you never get close to him, how can you find out what you really need? You have to get close to the Lord to hear, to learn from him. And the good news is you can get close, as close to the Lord as you want to be. You can go to him for yourself as often as you want to. Nobody is holding you back from building your relationship with the Lord. If you got a question, all you got to do is ask him. If you got a problem, all you got to do is turn it over to him. If you got a praise report, all you got to do is call out his name and thank him for what he's already done. You can get just as close to the Lord as you want to. Amen, somebody. It's all up to you, the kind of relationship you got with the Lord, for God's already there. He just wants you to get closer to him. Jesus didn't just teach by what he said, but he also taught by demonstration. But in order to learn by demonstration, you got to pay attention. And if you pay attention to this text, you will see that Jesus demonstrated service and love because he oftentimes went to where the people are. He didn't just play it safe and teach in the controlled environment, but he took his message to where the people are. And that's our lesson today, to share the gospel message wherever we find ourselves, to allow the message to first get into us so that people can see God in us, because it really don't matter what you say, it don't matter how it comes out of your mouth. If you can't live what you're talking about, your demonstration will nullify your words. You got to first show that God works in your life before you start telling about how the Lord would work in somebody else's life. You got to first show them that you can take the medicine and keep it down before you try to shove it down somebody else's mouth. You got to show them that God is real because he's worked for you. And if they can see God working for you, they got some hope that maybe God will work for them. You got to be what you're talking about. Before they ever hear us talk about God, they got to see God working on our behalf. And that's our mandate, for Jesus told his disciples to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all that he had commanded them. People can learn a lot by just looking at you. Most visual learners need to see the example before they understand what you're really talking about. They have to see the God working on your behalf. And when Jesus taught the people, he addressed issues based on their needs. And the crowd grew and began to press against Jesus until Jesus was pushed back against the seashore. I would imagine that Jesus was just like everybody else, and he struck up a conversation that grew into a debate, and later it grew into a lecture filled with questions. And the longer he talked, the greater the crowd grew, wanting to hear more from this man. And that's when that's what we may mean when we say, take the name of Jesus with you wherever you go. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have within. God is always setting us up for an opportunity to share more about who he is. What starts off as a conversation can end up with someone actually drawing closer to the Lord. The conversation must have been a good one, because Jesus didn't want to stop engaging the people. So he saw two boats that were on the seashore, and the fishermen out of those boats cleaning their nets. He got into one of them and he tells Simon Peter to push off from the shore so that he can continue his lesson to the people. And Simon had heard about Jesus, and they may even have had familiarity with one another. And though Simon had been fishing all night, and though he was tired and wanted to go back home, he watched and he listened to what Jesus was saying and saw the crowd swell around him. So when Jesus got into the boat, he did what Jesus said, and he pushed away from the shore so Jesus could keep right on teaching. Even though he was tired, even though he had been disappointed because he hadn't caught any fish all night long, even though Jesus disturbed him while he was working, he had a lot of reasons to tell Jesus to get out of his boat. But here was the first subtle testing of his faith. Because even in the face of all of these obstacles, Simon said yes to Jesus and did what he said do. I got to point out that he said yes to Jesus, not to his friends. He said yes to Jesus, not to his employer. He said yes to Jesus, not because of fame, being around someone that was great at that time, not because Jesus promised to pay him anything, but he did it because he didn't know what was in store for him, but because he just wanted to hear more about what Jesus had to say for himself. Not out of obligation, but out of desire, he said yes to Jesus. And who you say yes to matters. Who you listen to, it really matters. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters what your motivation is. It don't matter that you show up to church out of obligation. It only matters that you show up because Jesus said go. It don't matter if you serve other people and help other folks. It only matters that you see God in them, and that motivates you to serve them. It matters who you listen to. You didn't listen to the world, but he listened to Jesus, and because he listened to Jesus, he had a blessing on the way. The text says that Jesus taught away from the seashore, and after he finished teaching, he turned to Simon Peter, and he told Peter to go out into the deep and cast your nets for another chance to go fishing again. You know, the lesson really doesn't come alive until after the preaching ends. The real praise doesn't really happen after the song music stops. And it doesn't really happen until you got to leave these safe quarters and you got to go out into the deep and then apply what's been going on in your life. I don't know what the lesson was, but I do know that there was a testing of Peter's faith, because I know he was tired. I know it was after hours. I know he had been fishing all night. I know he was disappointed, but Jesus said, go a little deeper. And if you go a little deeper, I can bless you. All you got to do is show a little faith. And God did. And Jesus didn't ask him to do anything that was too hard for him. He didn't ask him to travel around the world. He didn't ask him to go fight 100 men. He didn't ask him to go speak in the synagogue. He didn't ask him to do something outside of his realm of possibility. Peter was already a fisherman. He just said, go do what you do. But this time, be aware that I'm in the boat with you. And if I'm in the boat with you, I make all the difference in the world. You didn't catch nothing last time, but this time is different because you got some new cargo on the inside. When the Lord shows up and he gets on the inside of you, he gets on the inside of your mess, it won't turn out the way it turned out last time. And Peter said, we've been fishing all night long and we didn't catch a thing, but because you said it. The Bible says that he believed Jesus at his word, and he went a little deeper where the fish should be, then he cast out his net. And when he pulled his net in, he had so many fish, his nets began to break. That's shouting time right there. been fishing all night, didn't catch a thing. But Jesus said, go do it one more time. And he came up with so many fish, he started to break his net. That's shouting time right there. You've been working and your check been late, and it finally comes in and your bill's overdue. That's shouting time right there. You've been sick for a long time, but you did what the doctor said do, but this time you prayed a little different and you got some different results. That's shouting time already. You did the crime, but God showed up and gave you some grace and mercy, gave you another chance. That's shouting time right there. But don't you know the Lord will blow your mind, because he didn't just bless him with the minimum. He blessed him with more than he can hold on to. The Bible says that his nets began to break. That's how the Lord will bless you. His nets broke. And when other guys came, the Bible says the boat began to sink. Have you been swallowed up by a blessing before? Blessed so good it almost messed you up. Got so happy you almost threw your blessing out the window. The Lord will bless you so good that it'll cause another problem in your life. I like them kind of problems. I like them kind of problems where my cup overflows and I gotta share it with somebody else, because if I try to hold on to it, it'll wreck me. That's a lesson right there. The Lord don't bless you for you to hold on to it. And if you hold on to something that the Lord said you ought to share, that very thing you hold on to may just take you under. You better use it the way the Lord said use it. The Bible says, Peter said, because you said it. Because you said, he trusted him at his word. It didn't make no sense. He was tired. We've already done this before. I'm a professional fisherman. If they was biting, I would have already gotten them. He had all the excuses in the world, but because the Lord said it, sometimes you just got to take the Lord at his word. You just got to do it because Jesus said do it. But you better make sure it was the Lord. You better tune your ear to the Lord. You better make sure it was God that told you to go. But if the Lord told you to go, don't let nothing hold you back. And if the Lord told you to stay, don't let nothing push you out there. You better listen to the Lord. Had so many fish, the nets began to break. Had so many fish, he had to call his comrades over, and they started putting fish in their boat, and they had so much fish they almost didn't make it to shore. And when Peter looked up and realized what happened, he got convicted and said, you got to get away from me. I'm a sinful man. And Jesus said, don't worry about it, baby. You may be fishing for fish today, but I'm going to make you a fisher of men. The Lord will convict you, and then the Lord will call you. And God already knew all about you. Let's fast forward to what kind of guy Peter really was. You remember when Jesus was on his last dime and he was about to be killed? He turned to Peter and said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. God knew who he was when he called him in the beginning. That's some good news for somebody today. That's some good news for me today, because God knew me and he knew what kind of cat I was too. And God loved me, gave me another chance, called me into his service knowing that one day I just may betray him. But he loved me so much that he opened up a door that when I mess up, I can get right back in line again. Ain't God a good God? You may mess up, but you can get back in line again. Because whatever the Lord has for you, it is for you. You just got to walk by faith. He ain't asking you to do nothing too hard. All he said was, forgive. He ain't asking you to do anything too hard. All he said was,
pray for those who persecute you. And don't curse. He ain't asking you to do anything too hard. He just said, show up on time. He ain't asking you to do anything too hard. He just said, give back to me just as graciously as I gave back to you. And if you can't be faithful with something small, how can the Lord trust you with something big? It's just a testing of your faith. You got a lot of good reasons why you ought not do what the Lord said do. But if you focus your attention on Jesus, you don't know what your blessing may be around the corner. But you don't do it for the blessing. You do it because God is able. You do it because God has already blessed you. You do it just because who he is. For the Bible says his love is not burdensome. That means if you do it out of love, it ain't work no way. You know how it is with your children that you love. If they call, you come running because you love them. This is my message to you today, Joshua. You may receive this Jesus Christ in your life. One that makes miracles just in everyday activity. You can find him on your job. He may even disturb you while you're working and change your activity for the day. I'm going to challenge you, just listen to him. For what may seem wrong to everybody else, the Lord knows how to make it all work out all right. You may see him in the highways and byways of life while you grocery shopping, picking up your fish and chips. You may bump into him in the line and start having a conversation with somebody that wants to know more about Jesus. Don't be in such a hurry that you miss entertaining angels along the way. The Lord is calling you. He's calling you. How many miracles do we miss because we're in a hurry? How many opportunities do we overlook because we don't have our eye fixed and focused on Jesus? Our problems got us all weighed down. But if we just focus on Jesus, he can handle whatever ails us. He's able today. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's a confession of the heart. It's not magic where you just say the right phraseology and you get what you want. It's a confession of the heart that Jesus is Lord and Savior.